Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week, and we do count it our privilege to have you follow along in our Bible studies. We just would like to say this, if you've not taken time to write us, we hope that you'll do that. We thank the Lord for the letters that we have received, and I think the most encouraging thing is that some of the Lutherans had no idea what was in their catechism, especially the large catechism, because I found that most Lutherans do not have, not all now, but most Lutherans do not even have the large catechism. And so that's very interesting. But as we can continue on now concerning the philosophy of Martin Luther, a man that's been dead, using round figures now, almost 500 years, this man's philosophy has spread far and wide, and it has siphoned in thousands and thousands and thousands of people to believe that their water baptism is going to give them eternal life. Now, to begin with, I want to bring out a few things here, because, first of all, if a person would go to the catechism here, the small catechism on page 174, Martin Luther blatantly declares that concerning baptism, that it is forgives your sins, number one, number two, it delivers from death, number three, and the devil, and it gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. That's exactly what Martin Luther says in his small catechism, and also reaffirms it in his large catechism. I want to start out because people get mesmerized by this, and a man that's been dead for almost 500 years. Let me say this and bring out, I could spend weeks and weeks giving you Bible colleges, giving you some of the great Bible teachers of past and present, and that absolutely declare that what Mr. Luther is preaching concerning baptismal regeneration is absolutely contrary to the Scriptures and teach no such thing. For example, I think a lot of you probably are familiar with Billy Graham. Well, Billy Graham disagrees with Martin Luther emphatically. Billy Graham has never taught anything that water baptism gives you eternal life. He's only taught that faith in Jesus Christ is what gives you eternal life, not water baptism. Charles Larkin, a lot of you, if you don't even read your Bible, then you're not going to know about Charles Larkin. But he was a great Bible scholar. Neither did he ever teach. Hal Lindsey, the late great Planet Earth, never. He disagrees with you, Mr. Luther, and never teaches or has taught or at the present is teaching that water baptism has anything to do with you going to heaven. So your philosophy is false in the eyes of many. J. Vernon McGee, that great preacher has written books on every commentaries on the whole Bible, every book in the Bible, loved by hundreds and thousands of people, has been on the radio, passed away here a few years ago, but pastored that great church out in California. Harry Arnsides, another great old-time preacher, Billy Sunday, Charles Hayden Spurgeon, and I could go on for weeks and weeks and weeks and give you names of Bible colleges in the past, the present, some of these great Bible teachers that have taught these great doctrines of the Bible, and they all, Mr. Luther, disagree with you. So you are in a sect by yourself. You most assuredly are, and your philosophy, sir, God warns us about in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Jesus Christ. Now, that's very interesting because we're going to look at one of your master, I call you the master of deceit because you really are. But let's look here in the Bible. Now, this is something Lutherans just, a lot of them don't want anything to do with. They don't carry a Bible to church. They have a little Bible in the pew, and they turn there to the reading of the Ten Commandments or whatever that preacher is preaching on. But you're not going to find these great doctrines that are taught on, especially if it contradicts Martin Luther, because Luther is the God of the Lutherans. Assuredly is. But now let's begin to look at some things here and keep in mind, you can look in your concordance, and you'll find nowhere in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi do you ever find the word baptism. It's not translated there as baptism. There is no baptism at all in the King James or there whatsoever. And we don't have any record anywhere for 4,000 years that anyone was ever baptized, even starting from Adam and Eve, clear on up to Cain and Abel, and so forth, and clear on down through the genealogies and so forth, you don't find one person that was ever baptized. Now, another thing that's very interesting, we point out, and Lutherans have a little problem with this, but they have an answer to it. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, where the thief on the cross was there, and he repented. Repentance was change your mind, and he did change his mind. And he changed his mind and said, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Well, the Lutheran and the Catholic's response to this is, well, he would have been baptized if he could. Well, our response to that is very simply this. He could have, and if Christ wanted him baptized, in other words, if Christ's death and burial and resurrection wasn't sufficient, then we're going to find out, then Christ would have come down off of that cross. You've got to remember, Jesus Christ had the power over life. He had power over death. He healed everyone that came to him. He never partially healed anyone. He raised those from the dead that were dead. He raised them back to life. Christ could have come down off of that cross. If baptism was a requirement for salvation, as Luther says, then Christ could have come down off that cross, and you've got to remember, he could have called down 12 legions of angels, a legion is 6,000, 72,000 angels, and said, keep this crowd out of the road while we go get some water here and take this man and get him baptized. How ridiculous that becomes with Luther's philosophy. They always have some kind of flimsy explanation. Well, he would have if he could have, or he could have if he would have, whatever. Well, he could have, sir. Mr. Luther and Mr. Roman Catholic, he surely could have, and Christ could have got him down off of there. If it's a requirement for salvation, then it's a requirement for everybody, sir. There's not a double standard, as you project, to excuse. But this comes from not rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where it comes from, you see. Now, I want to take you in the Bible because there's some verses here that God uses here tells us about concerning his word. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 2 and verse 15, the word of God says this. Now, you must remember that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And the Holy Spirit inspired men to write. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it's not of any private interpretation, because this is a cop-out that Catholics and Lutherans and anybody else that holds to these false doctrines says, oh, it's your interpretation. Well, then it's your interpretation. What? Who are you? But the Bible says, no, prophecy is not for any private interpretation. And what that simply means is, very fact, when you compare Scripture with Scripture, if you have one Scripture that seems to contradict another Scripture, it is because you have the wrong interpretation. So you take all Scriptures concerning that particular doctrine that you're studying, and when all of those Scriptures agree, then you have the right interpretation. The Holy Spirit didn't write one thing in the Bible one place in one verse and then contradict himself in another verse. That just does not happen. And that's exactly what Martin Luther has put forth in his baptismal regeneration. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, this study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Now, we go on, and I'd like for you to notice here in verse 5 and 7. When you have a cult leader, and you have a leader that mutilates the Bible, as Martin Luther, as Jehovah's Witnesses, as Mormonisms, and Joseph Smith, and so forth, and we give you an example of that. Let me just say this. In Mormonism, if you go to their book, in their Book of Mormon, and you go to Alma, A-L-M-A, Alma, chapter 7 and verse 10, in the old edition, I have the real old edition back in 1830, I believe it was 1820 or 1830, and there it says Jesus was born in Jerusalem, in the country of our forefathers. Jerusalem? I thought he was born in Bethlehem. You begin to study their writings, and you begin to study the writings of Luther and his philosophy along with that of Mormonism. And another, we find out, just for example, and you can look this up yourself, on Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus Christ was God in human flesh. So they've taken the New World Translation, and if you go to chapter 1 in the Gospel of John, verse 1, The Bible reads in the manuscripts now, the original manuscripts, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God." And then if you go down to verse 14, "And the Word became flesh," that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, how they get around to justify, they have to add to the Word of God. Now, if you read in the New World Translation, you'll read in John 1:1 where they put the little letter A in there to make Christ a God, but not the God, not Jehovah in human flesh. And it reads in the New World Translation, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God." And we find out in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, that the Lord says, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." So you find out if a man's lying with his false philosophy and his religious attire and all of his philosophy that he has, starting these churches and so forth like that, churches under his name and all this and that. First of all, there is no letter for A in the Greek or the Hebrew. So when you put it in to distort a doctrine, especially the doctrine of Christ, that he is God in human flesh, manifested in the flesh. But I'm just using that because we're going to see here in a minute, we're going to examine something. Martin Luther does the same thing. He's a master of deceit when you study. But most Lutherans don't even study Martin Luther. They just take the catechism and the small catechism, and this is truthfully their Bible. Let's come to catechism. Study the catechism. Study the catechism. I don't understand why you don't tell them to study the Bible. You're studying the writings of a dead man that's been dead for almost 500 years, you see. Now we come here, and this is exactly what they're left with. Notice here in verse 5 of the third chapter here, and also verse 7. And verse 5 says, "Yes, you follow this philosophy. You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. From such turn away." There's no power in water baptism. There's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the gospel. In Romans 1:16 it says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." The gospel is not water baptism, folks. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I'm not ashamed of the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, if you are preaching water baptism for salvation instead of the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's no power unless you're trusting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, let me say this, because this is one of the masters of deceit in Martin Luther of what he does. He says, "Yes, we believe that Christ died, and he buried, and he was has risen again on the third day." Yes, you say that, Mr. Luther, but you're not trusting that. Because if you were trusting that instead of water baptism, then you would preach Jesus Christ and him crucified for salvation, and you wouldn't say water baptism washes away your sins, water baptism frees you from the devil and from death, and gives you eternal salvation to all who believe this. You're saying water baptism does it. You believe that Christ died, was buried, and rose again as a historical event, but when Christ said it's finished, telestai, nothing is added to it, you don't believe that, because you're not going to finish salvation until you are water baptized and you add to God's finished work upon the cross for salvation. Therefore, sir, not only are you lost, but all of those that believe your damnable philosophy are lost on their way to hell too. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you some verses, sir, because you take water and substitute it for the blood. Let me give you some verses of what the Word of God says. And some of these, as we said before, Billy Graham disagrees with you. Charles Larkin disagrees with you. Hal Lindsey disagrees with you. J. Vernon McGee disagrees with you. Harry Arnsides, Billy Sunday, Charles Hayden Spurgeon, one of the great pulpiteer teachers that probably ever lived. They all disagree with you, Mr. Luther. And believe you're a false teacher, because you're teaching the water instead of the blood. Revelation chapter 1:5 says this, Mr. Luther, "Unto him," that's Christ, "that loved us and washed us in his own blood." Blood, Mr. Luther. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 tells us, "For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Are you a Lutheran? You trusting this man, Martin Luther, the great deceiver? You trusting his philosophy and your catechism? You'd be very foolish to do that. I would suggest you write these verses down and go look in your Bible for yourself, you see. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's Christ. And then, Mr. Luther, evidently you're not aware of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," that's Christ, "and by the word of his testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." I don't see anything, Mr. Luther, about water baptism that you have pulled out of context. And one of the masters of deceit here that you have done, and we're going to get on that in just a second, is the fact that you take, and this is very interesting because another man who is nothing but a puppet of Martin Luther by the name of Pastor John D. Hopper. Mr. Hopper had been up to Sacred Heart, and he had got a doctorate degree here by going over to Luther Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and he has written on baptismal theology and so forth. Everything is baptism, 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 baptism. And but we're going to find out, and I want to show you an example of how these false teachers do. You can look at this yourself. I'll tell you exactly where to look if you want to look. But most of you will just be like a third grader. You'll pout and go around, don't know anything about the Bible. You're not going to take time to look and check, although your eternal destiny depends on what you believe. If you believe the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ and these verses that Christ died for you and he was buried and he rose again and you're trusting him when he said it's finished, he didn't want you, Mr. Luther, to be adding water baptism to say that's what gives you eternal life. Excuse me. He wanted you to believe that what he did on the cross was finished. He paid for our sins. And he doesn't want you to add anything to it, sir. Nothing whatsoever. But I want to show you something which is very interesting here. If you go in Mr. Harper's book here, and it's entitled Baptized, Marked for Living. All the way through, he quotes Martin Luther, Martin Luther. He should have just, I suppose, signed his name to a catechism or whatever. But anyway, you'll find out on page 9 of Mr. Harper's, John D. Harper's book, he quotes and says, out of a verse in the Bible, he quotes, "Baptism now saves us." Now, that's interesting. Now, if you go to the, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, that verse has 36 words in it. And Mr. Harper, you only quoted 4 and changed the whole meaning of the verse. And you quoted, "Baptism now saves us," but you left out 32 words of the one verse, Mr. Harper. Now, to show that you're just a puppet of Mr. Luther, if you go to the Small Catechism, Luther did a little better. He used 6 words out of the 36. If you go to the Small Catechism on page 175 and number 634, Luther does the same thing, but he does add 2 more words. He states, "Baptism doeth also now save us." That's 6 words out of the verse that has 36 words in it, Mr. Luther, and you left 30 of those words out to deceive your followers. If they look in your catechism, that's your Small Catechism, page 175, number 634, and I wonder, Mr. Luther, why you didn't quote the whole verse. Well, if you quote the whole verse, Mr. Luther, it blows to pieces your damnable philosophy that baptism saves us. Because the verse tells what it saves us from, sir. But you left all of that out. So your readers in your Small Catechism, when they read that, "Baptism doeth also now save us," Mr. Harper did the same thing, only he cut 2 more verses out, or words out, and out of 36, he used 4. So he left 32 out. You did a little better, Mr. Luther. You only left 30 out. But I want to read you the verse now. You talk about a master of deception. You are it, Mr. Luther. I wouldn't follow you in any way, shape, or form because you'll lead me right straight to hell. But I will trust the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it's amazing how many places speak of the blood. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him," through Christ. But Luther, you said water baptism is what saves us. It forgives our sins. It delivers us from death, the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. You made a little mistake there, sir, because those that believe this, it gives eternal damnation, not salvation, Mr. Luther. And again, you have to conclude, sir, that you going against the Word of God, you are the master deceit. You are the master deception. Now, we go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and I want to read the whole verse. That's very interesting. Baptism God has given us as an ordinance to do along with the Lord's Supper. If we don't, and we as a Christian have received, and we believe, and we are trusting that Jesus Christ died, and He was buried, and He rose again, then we have eternal life. God loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, gave Him to do what? To die on the cross, to be buried, and to be risen again. He most assuredly did. That's the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day. That's the gospel, folks. That's the gospel. Now, we come here to 1 Peter here in chapter 3 in verse 21. And it says this, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh." That is, as we are comparing what baptism does, it's an answer of a good conscience mentally. I don't have a guilty conscience, but let's read the next line. "But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Other words, very simply, when I'm baptized, I have followed the command that God gave to be baptized as a Christian, and the reason is Christ does not want us to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I baptize hundreds of people, and when they go under the water, they are thrilled to be baptized because they're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And when they're baptized, that is a public testimony. They're showing by going under the water that they believe that Christ died. Under the water shows death. When they're raised out of the water, it shows resurrection. It is showing the people by public example, symbolically showing what they have believed to be saved, and now their testimony in showing you as following God's commandment, if they refuse to be water baptized, then they're going to have a guilty conscience because the Holy Spirit, when you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. It is given unto you after you have heard the word of truth and believed. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit will convict you that you need to be baptized. You need to follow what Christ wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be ashamed of Him. So, let's read it again. "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh." We find out the filth of the flesh is what? You're born with the filth of the flesh. You're born a sinner. "In sin did my mother conceive me," did David say. We're all born a sinner, you see. So it doesn't, baptism doesn't pay for your sins. It doesn't put away the filth of the flesh. That's the things that you do out of the flesh. But it is an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Very simply, but Mr. Luther, you left 30 words out of that verse to deceive your followers by your catechism, sir. And Mr. Hopper, you're the puppet that has followed Mr. Luther. And you have taken, sir, you have taken 32 words, and you just disregarded it. You never quoted it. You never gave it under any circumstances whatsoever, and you just yanked it out. And I thought the Bible said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for correction, instruction into righteousness. And I'll just say this is exactly what we're giving you. The rest of the verse, folks, so you can read it, how damnable it is to follow this man right straight into hell. I hope that you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Remember again, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, not by water baptism. Unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood, not the water, sir. And again, let me remind you, Billy Graham disagrees with you, Mr. Luther. He surely does. He preaches salvation by grace through Jesus Christ, not water baptism. He most assuredly does. And what about all of these others, sir, that are Bible colleges all over the country? Wheaton College sent the 5 missionaries down to Ecuador a number of years ago. They preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified, not baptism for salvation, sir. You have Bible colleges all over America today that disagree with you, Mr. Luther. They most assuredly do. How about Hal Lindsey? He's one of the noted Bible teachers, and he's on television and so forth, has program, written Late Great Planet Earth. He disagrees with you, Mr. Luther. He surely does. Charles Larkin, J. Vernon McGee, one of the great Bible teachers. Harry Arnsides, one of the past Bible teachers, written books on almost every book of the Bible and so forth. Great Bible teachers. I could go on for weeks and give you these great men, many of them, in the Bible colleges today that don't want anything to do with you, Mr. Luther. They disagree with your damnable philosophy and your philosophy, sir, which has mesmerized many people. They always want to follow a man, don't they? But let me say this in closing. I see your time slipped away. We're going to be on this a little bit more here on next week. And then, following that, we're going to have one message on women preachers, the great deception of the women, and how true that is. But we're going to show you in the Bible, if you want the Bible. If you don't, just turn the radio off, because really, maybe someday before you die, you'll decide to believe what the Lord said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, I see your time's gone. We just want to invite you to our church service on Sunday morning between 10 and 11, and Sunday evening between 6 and 7, and our youth group on Thursday night between 7 o'clock and 9. We just say this, the first promise when Christ left the earth was, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you, so shall come again in like manner as you've seen him go in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. Folks, the world's not looking for the return of Jesus Christ, but the Christians are. And that's why that we say, keep looking up and ever praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. We hope that you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at this same time, keep looking up, as we always say, and we always remind you, and ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.